Indeed, all praise belongs to Allah, the Most High. We thank Him and we seek His aid and we seek His forgiveness and we seek refuge with Him from the evil of ourselves and from our bad actions. Whoever Allah guides, then there's no one who can mislead Him, and whoever Allah causes to go astray, then there's no one to guide Him. And I bear witness that there is no deity except Allah who is unique and without partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is His worshiper and His messenger. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him and his family and his companions and those who follow them with good intentions until the day of judgment. O you who believe, fear Allah as He should be feared and don't die except as Muslims. Again, O you who believe, fear Allah as He should be feared and don't die except as Muslims. O mankind, be careful of your duty to your Rabb who created you from a single soul, and from it He created its mate, and from the two of them He spread forth many men and women. Be careful of your duty to Allah, whom you demand your mutual rights, and be careful of your duty to the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is our raqib over you. And O you who believe, fear Allah and always speak the truth. He will cause your deeds to be beneficial, and He will forgive for you your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His messenger, then he has truly achieved a tremendous accomplishment. For indeed, the best speech is the book of Allah, and the best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the most evil of all affairs are newly invented matters, which has no precedence in Islam. And indeed, all innovations are astray, and each astray is in the hellfire. O Allah, save us from it. O Allah, accept our dua. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. If anyone kills a person, it would be as if he killed the whole people. And if anyone saved a life, it would be as if he saved the life of a whole people. This is from Quran 5:32. And Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "By the one in whose hand is my soul, a time will surely come upon the people in which the killer does not know why he has killed, and the one killed does not know why he was killed." And when we look at some of the events that have been happening over the past few months in regards to the just indiscriminate murders in this society, and when we look at the fact that the Prophet, peace be upon him, they talked about how we can get sick spiritually. We can have spiritual illness. And again, spiritual illnesses, and then what's coined in the deen is the diseases of the heart. You know, spiritual disease of the heart, again, are those sins which are committed by the heart, in many instances, cannot be seen. They have an impact on our outer actions because they are often the cause of other sins. And that's from, and then Imam Ghazali, he stated, "Other sins, again, are like the mosquitoes hatched in a swampland, and the sins of the heart are like the swampland itself. Unless the swampland, the sins of the heart, is not eradicated, it would not be possible to get rid of the mosquitoes." Getting rid of all of the causes of the sins. And some of the diseases of the hearts: hypocrisy, following unlawful desires, arrogance, envy, showing off, and having bad opinion about others. And when we look at the news media and all the social media, many of the people try to blame the problems in the society on the mentally ill, You know, they don't look at all the other problems in society, the easy access to weaponry and the monies that's being put out by the gun industry. They say that in this country, there are more guns than people. There are more guns than people in this country. We have over 300 million people in this country, close to 400 million weapons. And so we have to look at, you know, if it was just a mental illness problem, then there would be more violence, there would be more problems in the society. And what I do for a living, I'm a practitioner in the mental health field. And I recognize that many people who are mentally ill, they, in many instances, harm themselves more than they will harm another person. Most people who are mental illness problems, they don't engage in violence. That's one of the points that we have to look at. You know, but the politicals or the people who are trying to make the billions of dollars on the gun industry, what they tend to do is they'll try to look for every opportunity to blame something else other than the easy access to weapons. And because other people are getting killed now, there's talk about, trying to do something about it. You know, I grew up in Chester and spent my early youth in West Philadelphia, and there were mass shootings all the time, before they had AKs. But there was no legislation put in place. They were just killing even the police. They would, if you were part of one corner, if they wanted some information, they'll drop you off way deep into your opposing corner's turf and say, make your way home, knowing that you would get killed. But again, these were black folks killing black folks for the most part. But now you get, the murder is just indiscriminate. So again, but as Muslims now, we have to be the healers of the society. If the society is spiritually sick, we have the medicine in the Quran. We have the medicine in the Prophet's example, peace be upon him. We have all of the information, but in many instances, we treat the deen like a private club. The lodge, masonry, secret society. Our job is to spread the word about our deen. Our job is to give the message of Islam. We have to give the message to our family, give the message to our neighbors. Because the hadith says that our neighbors are anybody 40 houses in any direction. So if the Muslims are several million in this society, everybody is our neighbor. How many times have you given dawah? Look for dawah moments. People ask you, why are you dressed this way? Why do you have the beard? A dawah moment. You don't necessarily have to go around, some of the other religions knocking on people's doors and all of that. There's so many times that we have dawah moments. Why are you not getting high? Why don't you get high? You used to have the biggest head in the neighborhood. And now you stop getting high. A dawah moment. You used to sell the drugs on the corner. Well, I fear Allah now. I don't sell drugs no more. A dawah moment. So we have to look for opportunities to give dawah, to our family, to our neighbors. As the Prophet, peace be upon him, says that a Muslim should not touch a thing unless he seeks to improve it. So if we're touching the society, we should seek to improve the overall society. And if we're going to be here, we need to be here. Brothers and sisters talk about making hijrah, going somewhere. Where you going to go? I worked in Saudi Arabia for 2 years working with heroin addicts. Had some, stronger heroin habits than the people I grew up with. Where are you going to go? We have to establish the Islam in this society. Allah has put us here for a reason, specifically those of us who are descendants of slaves. Because many of the people who were taken into captivity, again, they were scholars, they were doctors, they were healers, philosophers, mathematicians. They weren't slaves. So they were enslaved people. And so Allah has given us the deen in this part of the world for a reason, so that we can continue to spread this news. And Philadelphia is known as a Muslim city for the most part. Philadelphia is known as one of the premier Muslim cities in the country. And so we have to basically show, not just be Muslim, but be practitioners of Islam. Because again, we can be Muslim. Who's the brother? He was telling me about, the brother was on Hajj. And he got stuck up. He walked down the alleyway, dude put a rusty shotgun in his back and said, give me your money. He said, man, we're in Mecca. We're on Hajj. I'm Muslim. He said, yeah, there are two types of Muslim. Good Muslims and bad Muslims. You a good Muslim. Me, I'm a bad Muslim. Give me your money. So again, you can be a Muslim, but not a practitioner of Islam. You could be a robber. You can be a dope dealer. You can do all that stuff. And you still, all your deeds will be placed on that scale. And so we have to get away from the ignorance in the society to be practitioners of Islam or actualizers of Islam. Not just practicing is just like you're faking it. Be actualizers of Islam. When you basically show that you do not have the spiritual illness that the society gives us in this day and time, we have to be, again, those who getting rid of the hypocrisy, getting rid of the desires. As one scholar said, that our desires is like a mountain, a big mountain between us and Allah. And we have to climb over our desires to get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our desires is a big mountain. And so some of us have maybe a hill. Some of us, you know, have, you know, basically not only a big mountain, but also, you know, a deep valley too. So we have to, each and every day, whether we are Muslims who have come to Islam through reversion or born into a Muslim family, the shaitan, again, will attack us each and every day. We have to be of those who are overcoming our unlawful desires and be of those who are trying to be the best, again, actualizers of Islam. You know, we have to recognize that the super rich in this country, you know, they basically program people to basically get their needs met. They want to keep the taxes low for them and keep the workforce available for them, the super rich. And what they'll do is they'll manipulate the media. They will basically do things that will keep people, you know, strung out on, you know, a false sense of religion and all of that. The super rich. And so we are so rich with deen that you know, we don't feel as though we can compete with them or war against them. And so once we start to spread the message, and Allah has given us so many different ways of spreading the message, of the social media. You know, social media itself is not negative or evil. It's any tool can be, a hammer can be used to hit somebody upside the head or to build something. And so we have to use the media to build the Da'wah Islam, build the house of Islam in this society. Again, if we're going to be here, we're going to be here. Because again, you can go to any other country and they have, you know, all sorts of things going on there. But we're familiar with this society. We're familiar with this oppressor. And so we have to work to dismantle the machinations that they have, you know, in mind for the overall society. And the deen, spreading the Islam, is one way of curing the spiritual illnesses that's in this overall society. Because a lot of the people who have wealth, you know, they worship their wealth. They worship their wealth. But, you know, all we take to the grave is our, you know, the deeds and the prayers of our offspring. That's all we take to the grave. So, you know, again, whether you are a billionaire like Warren Buffett or whoever, or a homeless person, you know, when you stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if that billionaire has not basically used that money to help change the condition of people, then they can be in deep trouble. And many of the prophets, peace be upon them, they died penniless. Even when the Prophet, peace be upon him, was on his deathbed, he asked, was there any funds or anything left in the household? And Aisha radiallahu anha said that, you know, there was, you know, some piece of gold. And he said, give it away. I don't want to meet my Lord, you know, with any type of wealth. He said, go and give it away to somebody. And so with those of us who are just addicted to the dunya, you can't take it with you. What are you sending forth? Your spiritual 401k. What are you putting forth? You know, we can retire in this plane, but the true retirement is when they put that dirt over, when they shroud you and wash your body. That's the true retirement. What are you preparing? How are you preparing for your true retirement? And so even if you don't have money, you can do deeds. If you see something that needs to be done, you know, in the masjid, to be able to, you know, help out, sweeping the floor, cleaning up, you know, sneakily paying a bill, you know, doing something for the imam. You know, so these are some of the things we have to look at. We have to change our character, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that he only came to change character. Some of the people who were his sahaba, they were some of the worst people on the planet prior to Islam. But in one generation, they became some of the best people on the planet. Why? Because, again, they followed his example. They believed him. They believed him. They had a measure of success with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I was talking to my wife a few months ago, and she said something like, you know, people say they believe in Allah, but do they believe him? They believe in Allah, because you see a Muslim selling liquor, selling pork, got pig feet floating around with the Quranic ayat on the wall. And you tell them they're not a Muslim, you know, you got a fight on your hands. But are we believing what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us? Are we believing what the Quran says? And so you can, again, have a basic understanding, but we have to start implementing the practices that Allah has prescribed for us. Because, again, just like when you go to the doctor, and Allah is al-Shafi, He is the ultimate healer. When you go to the doctor, if you have an infection, they're going to give you some antibiotics. Our antibiotic is the Quran. Our antibiotic is to follow the example of the Prophet, peace be upon him. That's how we heal ourselves, but then we have to heal the overall society. Just like in the past couple of years, we've been going through the whole COVID, the epidemic and pandemic, and they were busy at work trying to find a solution to the infection. But we have the solution to the spiritual infection in the Quran. How often are we visiting the Quran? How often are we taking the medicine? How often are we getting up, shaking off the sleep to make fajr in congregation for the brothers? How often are we basically just, you know, again, fasting, not just Ramadan, but outside of Ramadan? And these are some of the things that we have to look at doing to get rid of the spiritual illnesses that we are suffering from in this society. Allah says, "So as for those who do not believe in the hereafter, their hearts are ignorant and they are proud." And they are proud. And so we don't want to be like these type of people. We want to be of those who are practicing the khushu'. We want to be of those who are humble. You know, Allah asks us to practice in humility in all the things that we do. You know, we have to be of those who recognize that being humble is not being weak. Being humble is not being shy. Being humble is basically recognizing that we are deferential to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we are serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are the slave servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as such, when our master gives us instruction, we need to be following it. And the instructions are given in the Quran. The instructions are given to us, you know, by the Prophet's example. Allah also says, "The day when there will not benefit anyone, their wealth or children, but only the one who comes to Allah with a sound heart." Coming to Allah with a sound heart. And as the Prophet ﷺ said, that everything will rust. Everything that will rust. And even the heart will rust. But that which removes the rust from the heart is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how are we doing that? Are we just basically, what we used to call the PTMs, part-time Muslim? You know, are we, when we eat, do we say Bismillah? When we get in the car and about ready to journey, do we make a dua? You know, when we look in the mirror, do we make a dua? You know, it's just that, you know, all the things that we need to be doing, we have to be thankful for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, see people, when you see Muslims, they will see Muslims, going to the mosque and then coming back from the mosque. And they might be on the corner talking to somebody. And then they look at us and they'll say, oh, they pray all the time. But is the person that they're talking to on that corner more important to the conversation that we're having with Allah in our salat? And so we don't want to walk around arrogantly and being proud, but we want to recognize, be an example of humility. You know, even though we're praying, we get more done before 9 or 10 o'clock than most people get done the whole day. You know, we make fajr, we exercise, we may read, we may do this and do that. We do so much work, you know, before 9 o'clock than most people get all day. They might be sitting on that corner the whole day, not doing anything. So we have to strive to share this deen. You know, many people, specifically when we were young men, you know, we go out and we would talk to people about the deen. You know, one of the things that we did is we had radio stations here, radio shows, you know, best before the internet. But we would broadcast the deen. We would go over and make sure that we got into a position where we could spread the word about Islam to the people. What are you doing? How are you handling dawah moments? Allah has, again, created so many opportunities for us to communicate with one another. We didn't have cell phones, but we were able to basically present the image of Islam in a positive way. So Allah has given us so many forms of technology. And the technology will bear witness for us or against us. What we're saying on the phones, what we're doing with this technology, what we're doing on the internet, it will bear witness. It will have a voice. What you're doing with your money will have a voice. Everything, every place that where you pray will have a voice. We have to basically have a paradigm shift, brothers and sisters. We have to be of those who are, again, healing ourselves only to heal others as well. We have to be of those who are striving to be the best Muslims that we can possibly be. If I've said anything that's inconsistent with what Allah has given us and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us, I take responsibility for that. And if I've said anything in which you have gained some insight, as always, all praise belongs to Allah. لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. Again, if we're going to be here, we need to be here. And again, what I mean by that, we have to be involved in all aspects of the society. You know, America has what they call a pluralistic society, whereas you have people who are trying to recreate what they had in the 1800s. You know, one politician even said that they would like to take America back to 1950, prior to the Civil Rights Movement. And so if we're going to be there, we can't just, you know, be like the proverbial ostrich putting their head in the sand. We have to be involved in the overall society on a physical level, economically, politically, emotionally, spiritually. Again, the Dawah is one part, but also establishing the institutions. We have, you know, hundreds of masajids throughout the country. We have to start building the institutions. I was just in Houston, and there's a group called the Ibn Sina Foundation, and they have 7 clinics in the Houston area where they give free to low cost health care to the people, mental health and physical health. And most of their clientele are not Muslim. And so the days of pamphleteering are over. That's dawah. That is dawah. Went to one of the masjid, they have a food pantry. And he said that each week he feeds 400 families. They have a list of families that they bring the food to, and they come to get the food. That's dawah. So what we used to do in the 70s, in the 60s and 70s, may not be as effective as what is needed to give dawah today. You know, so as Muslims, we not only have to have the masajids, but we also have to start developing institutions to help heal the people. Health clinic gives you look at healthcare. Healthcare is expensive. Anybody has been to the doctor lately? So they raise money and they were able to offer free healthcare. They raise money and they're able to feed people. Because again, you know, people, they need food, clothing, and shelter. And so we have to look at what institutions are we able to be able to put forth. What institutions are we able to develop so that, the people, we can give the people the message of Islam, but also, you know, help them in their daily needs? Because if you look at, in the Christian community, you look at, we just take for granted St. Luke's, or St. this, or St. that, or the Jewish this and the Jewish that in regards to the health center. Where are the Muslim centers? Where are the Ibn Sina Foundation organizations, similar organizations in this city and in Atlanta and in other places? So again, the masjid is just the starting place. And so from that, we need to start to develop necessary societal needs and programs for the youth, programs for the elderly. We're all getting old. You know, when I first came to Islam on 152nd Street, you know, I didn't have a gray spot in this beard. You know, now I can't find black hair. You know, so I'm just saying is that, so we're, and I'm visiting Muslims in some of the elderly centers in Atlanta. And so we want to be able to fulfill the needs of the people from the cradle all the way to the grave and in between, establishing the schools, establishing the youth centers, you know, establishing the hospitals and medical clinics. These are some of the things that we have to do. But if we don't know, we don't know. If, you know, we have to read, we have to study, We have to become knowledgeable. You know, brothers offer classes and might be a handful of people come to the classes. And so if you want to increase your knowledge, because you get brothers might be and sisters 10, 20 years in their deen and they don't know too much of past Fatiha, might know Ikhlas. And so we have to increase our religious knowledge, but also study the history of deen. Even the people when Jerusalem was being overran or ran by the Muslims, and then the Muslims were defeated. And they say that the people who defeated them, they were so oppressive to the people, they asked the Muslims to come back. And these were not Muslims. And so, you know, we have to basically have that type of mindset. And so we have to increase the knowledge. We have to, no matter how old we are, we have to study. We have to participate in the classes that are being put out. And again, Allah has made the earth so small that, you know, we can be in at home and get classes. We want to learn the Arabic. I was studying with a Pakistani scholar in the mountains of Pakistan from my porch. And so we don't have an excuse to not get the knowledge, of not to learn the language of the Quran. We don't have an excuse of not being able to start to establish the things that will benefit the overall people. Allah has taken away all of the excuses. So what are we going to do? How are we going to change? What does Allah says? He does not change the condition of a people until they change what is in their hearts. So if we have a heart full of dunya, it's going to be very difficult to fill it with deen. Because in science, they say two entities cannot occupy the same space at the same time. So we have to empty out the dunya so that we can implement the deen. Empty out the dunya so we can implement the deen. You know, we have the solutions to the problems. We have to, you know, again, I've been through last month either about 4 to 5 cities. And when I would go for Fajr, there would only be a couple of people in the different masajid. And there's a sickness going to the point that Muslims don't think they need to come to Salat, to the masjid. We have to increase that. There's a story that comes out of Morocco where the person who was working, you know, for a Yahud, a Muslim worker for a Yahud, a Jewish person, and, you know, when he would come back to work, and he said, well, you know, how many people were at your morning prayer that morning? And he could say, oh, that many. And then he did it a couple of times, did more times. And then he said, wait a minute, why is it that all the time when you ask me about how many people were, in prayer, at the morning prayer? He said, well, my people, the Jewish people, have been around your people since the beginning. And we've learned that we don't worry about y'all until there's more people at Fajr than there are at Juma. We don't worry about y'all. And so that was their gauge. And so we have to increase the ranks in Fajr. What are you doing, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning? You snoring and slobbering? What are you doing that's so important that you can't come to the masjid? Even if you can't come to this masjid, if you live across out there, masjids all over the city. We have to start increasing the ranks, increasing the worship, my brothers and sisters. We have to start doing this. You know, we're so busy, you know, being busy. You know, and, you know, and shaitan will keep you busy, keep your hands busy. And so we have to basically increase the knowledge, increase our pursuit of knowledge. Again, as I mentioned earlier, increase the fasting, increase the charity, if we're going to make a difference in overall society. You know, some of the basics that helps to overall to change the society, we have to look at, for instance, homelessness. We're getting used to people setting up tents on corners. We're getting desensitized to that. You know, we have to help the homelessness problem. You know, we have to, again, help the addiction problem. We have to help the violent problem in this society. As Muslims, we're put here for a reason. You know, some of the cures, even in dealing with the diseases of the heart. It says, again, taking accountability for yourself. Be, you know, again, because we'll do something and not take responsibility. Lie about it. You know, and again, you as I said, that you have to be a witness even against yourself. You have to be a witness even against yourself and take the consequences. Seeking forgiveness and repentance is a means of curing the heart, the diseases of the heart, diseases, the spiritual sickness. Seeking forgiveness and repentance. And of course, dua, the supplication, asking Allah for this, asking Allah for that. Because if it's for you, and if it's good for you, he'll give it to you. But you have to ask, if it's not good for me, keep it away. Whether it's a mate, or whether it's a job, or some type of major move in your life, you have to petition Allah. And then you'll get certain signs as to whether you need to move to or fro. And that means turning it over. And when I learned the words, inshallah and mashallah, it took a lot of weight off of me. Oh, okay. You know, if Allah wants me to have it, you know, he'll give it to me. If he doesn't, you know, want me to have it, he won't. Because that's why we have to use that. We can't say we're going to do something later until we say inshallah. And it's not scapegoating Allah. It's about, again, being deferential to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because as we basically start to heal from the spiritual sickness, then what happens is you'll start to recognize, there's this love that you'll have in your heart. You know, that you have this, what they call the inner smile or the inner glow. And then what will happen is that the nur will basically be exuding from your face. People can look at you and you might not have a kufi on or a kimar on or any type of dress that's associated with being a Muslim. But people will be able to see that light. But the outer light is based on what's going on intrinsically, what's going on inside. Because if you're getting up, you know, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning praying, nobody sees that but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you're fasting, unless you announce to the world or you walking around with a sign, say, I'm fasting, nobody sees that. And what does he say? That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, to give charity so quietly that one hand doesn't know what the other hand is doing. Nobody sees that. So we have to basically have intrinsic change, brothers and sisters. And again, specifically our younger brothers and sisters, our generation, we're closer to the grave than we are to the cradle. And so our younger brothers and sisters, we have to start stepping up. And I'm seeing it all over the country, that the young people are recognizing that the institutions and what we had, because we didn't have a whole lot coming up, but we made sure our children had the basics of this deen. And so, and it's not about, what the man says, he said, you don't pass your torch, you light the next person's torch. And so we didn't have us. And so at least y'all have us for a few minutes. You know, if Allah gives us 70, 80 years on the planet, you can consult with us. And so we're asking our young brothers and sisters to step up. And as old timers, we need to be able to step back. You know, just like a man who got cataracts on his eyes and memory is all demented, he's trying to drive long distance. He won't give the wheel up to the car. You know, and so we have to be willing to give it up. But a lot of us, we don't want to give it up if we don't feel as though the next generation has been trained or capable. And so you have to demonstrate, brothers and sisters, that you are capable. And you've gone off to schools and you've learned things and you bring it back to the masjid. Bring it back to the masjid and say, okay, this is what I think we should be doing. This is how we should be doing this. This is, you know, we can establish this type of school. We can establish this type of institution. And we have to be willing, because most of us, we have relationships that go 40 to 50 years throughout this country. And so if our young people bring good ideas to us, then we tap into the people who got the resources and say, okay, this is what we want to do. And this is the plan. This is the game plan. So if you've gone off to college or some other skill that you've acquired, bring it back home. Bring it back home so that, again, we can start to establish the 21st century Dawah program, which is Muslim institutions. Because people died just establishing mosques throughout this country. People died just to be able to establish a small mosque all throughout the country. So now we have the mosques, let's start to build upon that, establish the neighborhoods, establish again all of the institutions that's needed. You know, again, other cures that we have, increase in acts of obedience, you know, again, remembering Allah, and above all, lowering the gaze. Because again, as the Prophet, peace be upon him, says that, you know, in the story about the shaitan, it says that when he went through Adam, when he was laying in state, and he said, he's hollow. And anything that's hollow is weak, and I will attack him through the hollow parts. And so, and that's what the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, to guard that which lies, again, between the thighs and that which lies between the eyes. You know, guard the mouth and the private parts. You know, that which lies between the jaws and that which lies between the thighs. You guard those hollow parts, guard the vision, lowering the gaze, and again, you'll be able to climb over your mountainous desires. Climb over the mountainous desires to get to a really good relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's how we are able to heal the spiritual sickness. And make sure that you're involved in the classes. If you've gone and studied, offer to teach some classes. You know, we can teach classes in deen. If you've learned different other types of skills, offer to become a practitioner. Become a practitioner, where they talk about the keys to knowledge. You know, first step is just listening. No, before that, even being quiet. Because a lot of the times we don't listen. My wife will attest to that. You know, because we don't get quiet. And so a lot of times I have a saying that instead of listening, I can look at a person's eyes, specifically when I'm in a session, and I'll tell them, you're not listening. You're waiting to talk. Because again, going back to that science axiom, two entities cannot occupy the same space at the same time. And so you have to listen first. Be quiet, listen, learn. And then practice, and then teach. Those are the steps to knowledge. And a lot of times, people cannot get past the first step, learn to listen. If I've said anything that's, again, inconsistent with what Allah has given us, I take full responsibility for that. And if I've said anything in which you have gained some new insight and knowledge, as always, all praise belongs to Allah. And again, may Allah allow us to work to be the healers in this society. رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَاخِذْنَا إِن نَّسِينَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا رَبَّنَا وَلَا تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْنَا إِصْرًا كَمَا حَمَلْتَهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِن قَبْلِنَا رَبَّنَا وَلَا تُحَمِّلْنَا مَا لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا بِهِ وَاعْفُ عَنَّا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. Our Lord, take us not to task if we forget or fall into error. Our Lord, lay not on us a burden such as you did lay on those who have gone before us. Our Lord, lay not on us a burden which we do not have the power to bear, and overlook our faults, and forgive us, and have mercy on us. You are our protector, and grant us the victory over the disbelieving people. Amen. Be calm and be fatherly.